Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Your girl washed your hair.
She did.
Hey, our girl needs to wash her hair. You know why?
For late night with Laura?
Not only that. Oh. How about early morning for Laura? Oh, you guys didn't hear?
No.
Tell him, Laura.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. I really don't.
Come on, you do.
I please enlighten.
Well, you just tell us because she clearly doesn't know.
Lindsay, do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I don't get like the alerts and stuff for the live IGs like you do, Cap.
Well, I don't get the alerts for live IGs. I'm just living on IG. That's all.
Oh yeah, I don't live there either.
Laura, tell the story about this morning. Going down to Starbucks, which you promised not to buy anymore.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
And thus, the reason your girl must wash her hair.
Oh, okay. So I busted my knee. I go to physical therapy down literally by work. And there's a Starbucks on 9th and Flower that I go to. And I, you know, grab a drink here and there. So I'm walking down and I look busted. Literally busted in sweats, hoodie, glasses, hair a mess, right? And this guy like goes, "Hey, are you Laura?" And I'm like, "Hi." He's like, "Hi." He goes, "I listen to 710 all day." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you. What's your name?" He goes, "Javier." And I was like, "Oh, nice to meet you." He goes, "Yeah, I listen all day, but I love Sedano and Cap. Those guys are hilarious." And I was like, "Oh, thanks, man, so much." I'm like, so I told the guys we need to shout him out.
Well, but there you are early this morning in a Starbucks hoodie. Glasses.
Looking busted.
Looking busted. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm sure the coffee was bussy, but this is a different word, busted. So, okay. So now, late night with Laura, and you can't be walking around out there with the people with the hair not washed, given the superstardom that has been achieved.
Okay, first of all, no superstardom at all. Let's not get that. No. And I'm always going to look busted if I want to look busted. I don't care. Like, I was comfortable and I had to go to therapy, man. Like, it was, you know.
So the coffee thing. Let's get to that. That's
there
the
you
issue.
Go. Dig in, George. Dig. Dig,
what happened
George.
There?
I haven't gotten a coffee machine at my place. So, you know, like, I've
been... Oh, I have an extra one if you want.
Well, no, thank don't. You. I mean, it's probably on her registry.
I was going to say, nobody bought you one yet?
Well, okay, so the thing with the registry or the Amazon wish list, I didn't know you had to, like, not make it private. So people were like, you sent the link, but it doesn't let us see it. So
no, that's not true, because I got to see it. They let me see it. When
no,
I
but I
it.
Guess I gave you permission or whatever. I don't know. My friend really did that for me. I still don't know how that works. And I
you
was,
sound like
I
mean, a boomer.
But I'm just saying, if you want a coffee machine, I can just go and ask the Gavinia family who are becoming like friendly with me.
Aww.
They do the Don Francisco coffee and La Llave. They do all those coffees. And, you know, maybe they'll send you something. Nice.
They're becoming friendly with you? How about you? Are you becoming friendly with them as well or no?
Well, I am friendly with them, yes.
Okay, they're just now becoming friendly with
well,
you.
Well, there's not a lot of Cubans in Los Angeles, and they're Cuban, and I'm Cuban, and they had their PR rep reach out to me, and we've traded pleasantries. And,
wow, you know, how nice. Yes. You guys should you know, maybe make a meeting with each other on Calendly. Sounds so formal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, for them, it would make sense to be on Calendly. And, you know, I mean, but with you, I mean, your girlfriend being on Calendly for you is
right.
Kind of weird.
That's, I need to book time with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a 7:45 with her tonight on her Calendly.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're right there in Vernon. So not too far away, Laura. You can even pick it up if you'd like. I'm
okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, by the way,
that's the thing. That's the thing. That's,
Laura,
that's
I just want you to know. I just want you to know that when you said you went to therapy, I didn't know that it was like knee therapy. And by not saying physical therapy, I thought you went to go see like a therapist. When I say a therapist, I think everybody's talking about like a shrink, you know?
I mean, I see that one too. I'm very open about that, and I'm a big advocate to that. I actually saw
yeah,
my therapist
I think,
earlier.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
everyone
later,
here, do you, Cap? Because I know Lindsay does and Laura does and I do. Do you see a therapist?
I don't anymore.
Oh.
I did, and I'll tell you something. I miss the guy. I got to tell you. Yeah. I miss him. Yeah. I miss my man. Nah, yeah. I go to a dude.
Why?
I don't know. It's kind of like if somebody says to me, "Hey, you're scheduled for a massage. Do you prefer male or female therapist?" I prefer female, but I have no problem with a guy.
Well,
no
I don't
problem.
Have a problem with either. I think it, you know, it just depends, right? Like what, you know, I actually, when I book a massage, it's usually like there's no preference, like whoever's first available. Usually.
Right. Same. Yeah. Now, as far as a therapist, I don't remember why I got this guy or I mean.
Was
I've
he
seen...
like an insurance person, like someone your insurance recommended to you?
No, or... no, I don't think so. Man, this guy talked me through a lot of stuff, man. I was on the edge for a long time.
Oh,
I'll tell
I
you
bet.
That right
yeah.
now. I mean,
yeah.
I was going through a divorce. It was a nightmare.
Right.
You know, then I had my first post-divorce girlfriend. That was a nightmare.
Right. Well, you told us about that. Yeah.
You know, then I had
pre-Rachel.
Other things. Oh, yeah. There's, I mean, there were, listen. So,
PR.
Laura. Oh, right. Exactly. I thought for sure, Laura, when you said you went to your therapist, because then later you put out a tweet. You're like, hey, I'm sitting on my balcony. I just made myself a really nice breakfast. And you know what? Life is good. I just saw my therapist. And I was like, okay, she went and saw her therapist. She's clear
you
her mind.
You literally know every detail about Laura's life to the point where it's kind of creepy, Cap. Not going to lie.
Well, it is
it
a little
is,
excessive.
It is. But hold on a second. You're right, Lindsay. And I don't take that. I'm not insulted by what you just said. But who do you blame for this? Me or Laura?
Me. I mean, it's okay. Look, I share what I want to share. And I've always told people, people will leave you alone and won't ask you questions if you share enough that they don't have to ask questions. So for me, it's like I'm comfortable sharing certain things and I'm comfortable keeping certain things private. So I don't have a problem. Like, I've been open about going to therapy. I went to physical therapy really early. And then I had my therapist appointment, which I usually have on another day. And it just had to be moved. So, I don't have an issue with sharing about my life because people connect to that. And, like, at the end of the day, this is what we're here for. So,
right, hence Late Night with Laura.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know it's weird that I follow all of her Instagram messages and all of her tweets, and then I can recount them like just instant memory, you know? I do acknowledge that it's a little creepy, but I don't take the blame. I don't take the blame for the creepiness. I blame the person who puts out the content for the creepiness.
It's okay. I own it, Kep. I own it. It's all good.
Yeah. I own the creepiness.
Yeah. And I own the oversharing. There you go.
Yes. There's both. There you go. So people are really, really, really upset
about
at
what?
Dave Roberts today.
Yeah.
About this Clayton Kershaw thing. Mm-hmm. Do we want to just take a quick break and then get into it on the other side? Because I feel like, we have, if I recall correctly, Christopher said we can do, how long can we go?
He said 40 minutes.
We can go from, once we break, we can go all the way till 4:55. All right, so let's do that. Let's break early, a little early, and let's get into this Clayton Kershaw thing, because I feel like we're going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum here around this show. So we'll get ready to draw our quote unquote battle lines in a moment, and maybe we'll let people weigh in as well. So we've got that coming up. There's an interesting Lakers tangent that we need to go on here, in just a few moments. And the Raiders, by the way, have made news.
Yep, they have.
Now we'll question whether it was good news or just not so good news. So we'll get to all that coming up this hour. We're going to go 45 minutes straight after this. We're back in 4.5 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You is better.
Times are good or bad. Don't happy or sad.
Yeah.
You know, this song is at the, I want to say.
Come on, where do you see that? When you hear this song, what do you think about? Come on. Tell me when you want me to give you some hints.
What movie?
Oh, wait, I'll give you a line. You ready? See if you can figure it out. You ready?
Yeah.
If you think they age like fine wine, they don't. All right. Let me think of another line.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really know movies like that, so I'm kind of curious. I mean, like a Pulp Fiction line?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is when Marcellus Wallace is sitting in the club, and Bruce Willis, hey, Bruce, I hope you're well, my brother. Seriously. Sending you love, dog. Bruce Willis is sitting there, and he's going to have to take a dive in a fight. Remember?
Right, I remember that, yes.
And Marcellus is telling him, and he goes to hand him the thing of cash, and then Bruce takes the cash, and then he goes out and he, spoiler alert, he wins the fight, you know? I mean, is it a spoiler alert for Pulp Fiction? The movie's 30 years old?
No, no spoiler alert.
All right. So, yeah, that's the song that's playing in the club. Now, what Chris said about how many times does Rachel dedicate that song to me, the answer is zero. You know why? Because, you see, George, I love that song, but she hates that song.
Who hates that song?
A person who had that song as their wedding song, and they got divorced.
It. Yeah,
see, that's the person,
sense,
right?
Yeah,
the Dadvocates is what I wanted to say about that. Yeah,
makes sense.
I love that song. She hates that song. Loving you is better.
Well, clearly they did not stay together. So
no,
I get
better.
It.
Times are good or bad.
Happy and sad.
Right, George. Good.
Yeah.
We're good. Like when we really, really, really put our minds to it and we both know the song, we're good. Just want to say that. Hey, George, before we get to the Clayton Kershaw thing, I'd like to address something that happened while you were on with Mason in Ireland, if I could, for a second, please.
Oh, they said something about your skinny arms. Spaghetti arms is what Mason called you. Yeah.
Yeah, Mason called me spaghetti arms.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'll tell you something right now, George. You know, over the last 2 years, I have been layered. I mean, like three layers of clothing. You know, like I walk in with a T-shirt, a three-quarter zip up, and then a sweatshirt or a jacket over that. I'm just layering clothing on top of me to hide what's going on here, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in the last probably month or so, I started getting back into lifting. You know, I started getting back into the gym, lifting weights. And I feel pretty good. I feel like I'm seeing instant results, including, by the way, in my guns. So yesterday, I felt kind of comfortable. Like, I'm going to take my sweatshirt off and just wear this really cool short sleeve Pearl Jam T-shirt, which the sleeves were a little short, which I thought really showed off that I'm starting to get it back now a little bit, you know? And now here comes Mason today, of all people, calling me spaghetti arms. Mr. Five Push-Ups himself calls me spaghetti arms.
Did he only do five push-ups, Mason?
Five push-ups, that's right, five.
No way.
Barely got to five.
Really?
Barely.
Oh, that's right. Were we at the golf course when he
did
that?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. That was when I did 48 and you did 43?
Right, but remember what I said to you, that the next time we do a golf tournament, I'll do 100.
And you're not going to do 100.
Probably not, but it was a dumb thing to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said it.
Well, also doing 50, I told you, was a dumb thing to say.
Oh, I'm going to go. I'm blasting past 50 this year.
Well, now you just want to do more than Sliwa, I think, at this point.
That's right.
Yeah.
I want to be the push-up champion of 710.
Okay.
And I don't want to be known as spaghetti arms.
Okay, cool. Well, you enjoy that.
Thank you. Just want to get that off my chest.
I mean, you seem to get, you know, you. I mean, that happened like 30 minutes ago.
Right. Well, I wanted to talk about it early on, but, you know, conversation took
crawl,
a different direction.
Is what you're
saying? Right.
Yeah. I mean, I also said you're a kicker, so it should be like your lower extremities that should be big anyway.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate you, you know, having my back on that, but still, spaghetti
arms?
Well,
I had your legs, actually, in this
case. I mean, spaghetti arms.
I mean, spaghetti arms are probably the worst thing you can call a dude, right? Like, about his figure?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you know, if I mean, besides, like, the stuff of, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, the
chicken
obvious
legs.
Stuff. Chicken legs is worse, you think,
legs,
Laura?
Chicken legs might be worse
I know,
for a guy.
Yeah, I think, like, guys don't like the chicken leg thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's me.
Legs are hard, man. Legs are hard to work. Not everybody's got the body type for it, though. You know what I'm
saying?
Don't
skip leg day. That's what they say,
No,
right?
You don't. You should not skip leg. As a matter of fact, I did squats yesterday.
Really?
I did lunges, actually. I didn't do squats.
Well, yeah. I'll just say
and
this
I
right
also
now.
Hike, like, you know, 5-6 miles a day. So
how are your legs? You think you got good legs?
No, I don't think I have good legs. I've had to work just to get this that I got, you know,
uh-huh.
Which isn't great, but it's better than nothing.
I mean,
but I definitely don't have spaghetti arms.
Okay. How about, but not spaghetti legs either? Or chicken legs? Chicken legs.
I think I got like I don't know, like what's the bird with the next better leg? Turkey?
You got turkey legs.
No, I feel like turkey legs are big. You see those things at like Disneyland, you know? Aren't they big?
Yeah, okay. So maybe in between chicken and turkey. Is there
what's a bird?
A seagull?
A seagull is between...
Yeah, or pigeon.
Wait a second.
No, pigeon is small.
They're not between.
Pigeon is even smaller than chicken.
Hold on.
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
There's got to be a bird between chicken and turkey. There's got to be a
pelican. Maybe a pelican.
Pelican's good.
An egret? You know?
A what?
An egret?
I don't know.
I'm unfamiliar with an egret.
Same.
Yeah, I don't know that bird.
Yeah, man. Egret's got long legs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Since you're trying to figure out.
I don't have long legs.
Well, since you're trying to figure out what's between a chicken and a turkey, I have a question.
Yeah.
There's got to be.
Maybe the people in the community can help us. If you want to be part of the Sedano and Cap community on Twitter, go to communities. If you go on your phone, there should be an option right next to your mentions. You click on that. click the search bar, which is a little hourglass-looking thing. Type in Sedano and Cap, and you can join.
Let me ask you this. Spaghetti arms, there's got to be, like, pasta that's better, like, bigger, thicker than spaghetti. That if you called me, like, I don't know, some
linguine.
Other kind of...
Linguini arms.
Is linguine? Linguine, is that thicker than a spaghetti?
Yeah, I would say capellini is the thinnest.
Angel hair.
Angel hair is skinny, though.
Yeah,
angel
capellini is skinny, yeah.
So, like, fettuccine is thicker.
No, but, thicker. You want thicker.
Yeah, well, arms. Yeah, bigger arms, bigger pasta.
I mean, what other pasta? No, it's not a string pasta, but rigatoni's pretty thick.
Rigatoni, okay. I mean, just spaghetti arms is insulting, is all I'm saying.
You don't have rigatoni arms, though.
No, you don't.
Hey, rigatoni over here. Yeah. I got these rigatoni arms over here.
You may have, like, if we were doing that kind of pasta, more like penne.
Penne. Okay, I'll take penne arms. If Steve Mason would have called me penne arms rather than spaghetti arms, I would have taken it as an insult.
Yeah.
Penne arms.
Joe Chai is tweeting us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm surprised Joe Chai is not. He always gets on you.
Oh, no, because Joe Chai wants to now take me to the gym and work me out, right?
Yeah. Now, Joe Chai, I'm surprised, also not part of the community because he tweets us a lot.
Come on, Joe. What's up, man?
He says, 100 push-ups really at Scott Kaplan? Let's get to 50 push-ups first.
He ain't wrong.
That's you. You always like to skip steps.
That's the truth, man.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
I bet you when you started an internet company, you were like, I'm going to be Google.
Well, why not? I mean, why not look to the biggest and the best?
Like, it takes a long time to be Google.
Right. So if you shoot to become Google and you become like 20% of Google, you just made yourself $10 billion.
Yeah. I do think your cited idea is a good idea. Someone is going to latch onto that and buy that from you. And then you're going to have the last laugh.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was on a call today and this guy says to me, he goes, you know, I really like what you guys are doing. And based on what we do, you know, maybe we should just acquire you guys. And of course, here's me like, nah, it's too early for us. We want to build more. We want to grow more. You know, we got a lot more to do before we're ready to be acquired. Of course, in my head, I'm going, yes, buy us. Yes, please buy us. Come on.
Just make the right offer so I can
Right. Just say $50 million right now and it's sold. Yeah. Just go ahead. $50 million.
Yeah, $50 million.
Right.
Good Lord.
$50 million.
I
sold.
Mean, that's a pretty high valuation for a company. Like,
well, I'm not saying it's worth $50 million, and I'm not saying it has a valuation of $50 million. I'm just hoping that the guy on the other end goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I like what you're doing. I'll give you $50 million for it.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't that happen every day?
I mean, I'd like to also be part owner of the Lakers if the Buss family would let me in. I don't think that's happening either, though.
Well, I'll tell you this. If the Buss family would be willing to take in some investors and some partners – the money is the easy part. It's the will you let me have my say, which could be the hard part of it all. Because I don't want to just put in money and be passive and get a parking spot under Staples Center. I want to put in money and I want to sit there in the general manager's office. And I want to share some opinions LeBron style.
I mean, if they also want, I mean, listen, I've been giving them a lot of free advice this last 2 weeks. If they want to just, bring me in the front office, then, you can do the show with, like, a Beto or a Clinton or something. You know?
I'll do it with Beto and Clinton. But, you know, George, it wouldn't be a shocker if you're considered a smart personnel man that a team goes out and hires you. Because, listen, there are examples of other people who've been in the media who have been hired by teams. Just as an example, we were talking yesterday.
Well, the Clippers did it. Right, they hired from Sports Illustrated. What's his name?
Come on.
A really great writer.
Come on. I'm going to wait. I'm not going to send you a – I'm not going to send in a – now I've lost the word. You lost his name. I lost the word. I'm not sending a life preserver for you. Come on. Get his name. You ready? I'm going to tell it to you. You ready? You want a hint?
God, what is his name?
Lee
Jenkins.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm very jealous of Lee Jenkins.
I know. They hired him. They took him out of writing sports for Sports Illustrated, and
he was an incredible writer, too.
Excellent, incredible writer for Sports Illustrated. And now, front office executive for the Clippers, who you never hear from anymore. I don't even know if the guy still got a Twitter account.
I mean, he probably does, but he doesn't really. Probably not active. By the way, I'm looking at this picture ESPN Los Angeles posted of you. I don't think you got spaghetti arms. I think you got penne arms.
Penne arms?
Yeah.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did anybody see me and George, by the way, posing with LeBron James yesterday, wearing what must be the ESPN 710 officially sanctioned uniform that they give
Which
us
is
and
like
tell
a,
us to wear?
A zip-up hoodie. Yeah.
Right. Zip-up hoodie, T-shirt, pair of jeans, and Nikes. I mean, yeah, what are we like? Did we shop at the same place? Did we call each other and organize what to wear to work?
Nah, not really. It's radio.
Just sort of showed up like that.
So anyway, let's so I would do that. So look, if Jeannie is listening and you want another, want another mind in the room, I'm happy to sit down and chat about it.
I think that's, listen, you've given a lot of great advice so far this week.
Yeah. A lot of it is honestly, legit. You don't even need to give me a job. I'll just sit down and chat with you about it. I mean, I'm not even joking about that offer.
It's very generous. Very generous.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not like, okay, I don't think I'm Jerry West, but, I clearly know what I'm talking about here.
No, you're Jorge East. Is who you are, okay? Seriously.
All right, listen, let's get to the Dodgers. We've been talking nonsense long enough. And we've got another 30 minutes here, actually, almost.
Right.
So let's talk about Clayton Kershaw. So I know Lindsay was not an uproar, I'm just joking. But, like, Lindsay was like, let him pitch!
Right.
And I feel like you were in that category as well. Is that accurate?
I'm, you know me, I'm usually strong opinion immediately. Don't even think it through. Just immediately jump in with a strong opinion.
Yeah, like Captain Caveman, basically, yes.
But in this particular instance, there's two very strong sides to this story.
Oh, so you're going to play it down the middle.
Well, let me at least define the sides for a moment.
Yeah. Perfect. By the way, for those that don't know the story, Clayton Kershaw had a perfect game through seven innings.
Right.
Yes.
On one hand, here's Clayton Kershaw who can't stay healthy.
Right.
So why would you take the risk of pitching him beyond seven innings in an early season game when you're coming out of a short spring training and most clubs have a game plan for their starting rotation? They have a pitch count in mind for their starters. And in Clayton Kershaw's situation, he's been hurt so much, particularly late in the year when you really need him last year. You know, why tax him this early? That's one side.
That's my side.
Okay, on the other side is, dude, this guy is the greatest pitcher in Dodger history, and he's got an opportunity to pitch a perfect game in his first start of the season coming off what was an injury-riddled year a year ago, which, by the way, resulted in the Dodgers not winning because Kershaw wasn't available. At least that's one fact.
And there's only 13 in the history of the sport, right?
So to not give him the opportunity to attempt to finish off a perfect game, the likelihood of him ever having that opportunity again in what's remaining in his career, probably statistically very, very low.
I mean, almost impossible.
So again, on one hand, do you overtax him this early in the season versus the other hand, which is, this is the opportunity of a career.
Okay. Can we, Lindsay, we have, and Laura, we have the audio, right, of Dave and Clayton Kershaw? Okay, let me hear Clayton Kershaw first. Let's start there.
You had 80 pitches. I know a lot of the fans wanted to see you finish the game. What was the conversation with Dave Roberts in the ultimate decision to come out?
Yeah, it's hard. I feel bad for Barnsey. Barnsey did such a great job, and it's fun to get to catch one of those. And so I wanted to do it with Barnsey. It'd be special. But at the end of the day, those are individual things. Those are selfish goals, and we're trying to win. That's really all we're here for. And as much as I would have wanted to do it, I've thrown 75 pitches in a sim game, and I hadn't gone six innings, let alone seven. And sure, I would have loved to do it, but, maybe we'll get another chance. Who knows?
All right, let's do this. He doesn't sound super broken up about it. Let's start with that.
Nope.
Okay.
He doesn't.
And also, I love that he calls him Barnsey, because, of course, you'd call your catcher Austin Barnes Barnsey, right,
mm-hmm,
in baseball.
Right. Naturally.
You think we should start calling you Cappy?
Well, I don't mind it. I don't mind Cappy. I mean,
we should put this up to the audience. Maybe the people in the community can vote. Should we call you Cappy or Cap? Sedano and Cappy doesn't have the same ring to it, though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But
I mean, we could call you Cappy within the show, though.
But there's a lot of people who, when they see Sedano and Cap, they think it's you and Colin Kaepernick. So maybe...
What? Who thinks that?
No, a lot of people think that, actually. No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
Who thinks that?
Well, people, right,
why would Colin Kaepernick be doing a sports radio show in L.A.?
Well, because people know Colin Kaepernick as nicknamed Cap, and so they see Sedano and Cap, and they're like, wow, Colin Kaepernick got into sports radio in L.A. That's really interesting.
Right. He's like, well, I get it. It's George Sedano. Why wouldn't you want to work with him?
Then there are other people, believe it or not, who think Sedano and Cap is you and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh, the Cap. Yeah, with a
right.
C.
So if you called me Cappy, nobody would call Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Cappy, and nobody calls Colin Kaepernick Cappy.
So you want us to change the name to Sedano and Cappy?
No, I like Sedano and Cap, but I'm just saying that it would differentiate me, at least, from those guys. You know, I'd be Cappy rather than Cap.
Yeah. What do you think, Cappy? What do you think, Linz?
I don't know. Cappy sounds kind of like childish, you know? Like it's like a little kid's name.
Hey, Cappy?
I mean, well, great point.
Laura, all she had to say was, I mean.
Yeah. We all got it.
Right. Yeah. The tone set, it told us what she meant, you know, not just the two words. I mean.
No, I feel bad.
Laura, so what do you think? Cappy? Before we move on to Dave Roberts, what he said.
No, I'm not with it. Not Cappy.
But you
we'll
know,
let
George,
the community decide.
Yeah, but George, you go back to Clayton Kershaw for one second. Here's one of the words or the phrases that he used that I thought was really interesting. He said, those are selfish goals. Now, think about that. Here's a guy who was hurt a year ago, couldn't help his team achieve what they thought they were capable of achieving, unavailable to the team, which really hurt the Dodgers. So now, here you are in the first start of the season, as he says, man, I haven't pitched 75 pitches in a sim game. So for me to pitch 80 pitches, I've already gone above and beyond. I'm trying to get myself into shape here, not get myself hurt again. So selfish goals are not why we're here. We're here for a team game to win a championship, not for me to get a perfect game. It's disappointing, but my body's probably not ready for it, and maybe we'll get another shot. Selfish goals is what he said.
Yeah, and I like that. I like that that's the position that he took. And look, here's the deal, man. He's had multiple arm injuries at this stage, okay? Multiple arm injuries, elbow issue last season, you know, back injuries. The guy's been hurt for 5 straight years. Like, what are we talking about here? And Dave Roberts, who we'll hear from in a second, talked about he had a pitch count or pitch limit of 85 pitches, so it was only going to be 5 more pitches anyway. So at that point, you go to him and say, hey, man, like, you only got 5 more. What do you want to do? And I'm sure he said, yeah, man, take me out. It's all good. Like, clearly he didn't sound broken up. So let me hear about Dave. Let me hear what Dave had to say after the game.
He shared with us just a little bit from your guys' conversation how it was the right decision to come out after the 7th. Can you just share from your side what that conversation was like?
Well, I think when you're talking about a guy like Clayton, who earns the right to have a conversation with the manager. And so basically after the 6th inning, I just went to him and said, hey, where are we at? What do you got? And he said, I'd like to go back out there for the 7th. And 80, 85 pitches, that's kind of where I want to finish. And it makes sense. And I was good with that. And the shortened spring training, I felt it was a win to get him built up to 5-75. But when you're talking about being up and down 7 times, that's something. And I can't quantify it. But talking to a lot of people that have been around this game for a long time, the ups and downs certainly matter. And he got to 80 pitches, and I felt that the stuff was starting to tick down, talking to Austin and Clayton himself. And so, you know, I think there's a point where you just got to decide. I got to decide to what end. And I'm as big a fan as anyone and a fan of Clayton. And to see a battery of him and Austin throw a perfect game or a no-hitter, I'm all in. But again, to what end or to what cost? And so every decision I make is for the best interest of the player, their health, and the ball club. Because there's a lot of people that, you know, are cheering for the Dodgers, not only just for today and Clayton to throw a no-hitter, but for the Dodgers to win the World Series. And for us to do that, we need him healthy. And so, yeah, I have to make a tough decision. But ultimately, it wasn't as tough as perceived. If you're talking about, you know, his next start, it'd have been a little bit tougher. Then the next start, it would have probably be more tough, and I'd probably give him the leash. But this first start, it was, I don't want to say a no-brainer, but it was actually pretty easy.
Yeah, wow. I feel like that's a really thoughtful, nuanced response to the whole thing, and I agree completely. And by the way, so did Clayton.
Right. How about the part where he said that he, as a player, has earned the right to discuss this with the manager? That's a guy, Dave Roberts, who sounds very much in control. I know a lot of times people think that Dave is not really making decisions. He's just the guy kind of enforcing what the front office is telling him to do.
They say that,
Dave Roberts sounds like an extremely confident, excellent communicating kind of manager. And here's the thing. For everybody that's upset about this, and I understand why you are, okay? I really do. I understand why, as a fan, you would be upset that you didn't get to see what you wanted. This is about you, not about Kershaw. Kershaw tells him, Dave, it's 80 pitches, man. I did 75 in a simulated game. It's kind of early in the season. I'm okay with coming out. So if he's okay with it, I think everybody else should be okay with it.
Well, and by the way, let me just ask every single one of those fans who's moaning and groaning about this right now. Would you rather see Clayton Kershaw holding another World Series trophy in October, or did you want to see the perfect game more? Because to me, if those are your choices, I think the former over the latter.
Both.
No, you can't. Sure, in a perfect world.
That's probably what
both.
A bunch of people said to their radios driving down the road in their car.
But
both.
I said or.
I know,
okay?
I know.
But who's to say that him being left in, and let's say he does throw a perfect game, who's to say that means you can't have a World Series?
Well, that is not. That
because
is,
the
that,
man has a history of injuries for five bleeping years. And like he hasn't made it through a whole damn season for 5 years.
It's game five of 162. I mean, that's the other part of it.
I understand that. But to that point, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't feel like there's very high expectations for Clayton Kershaw this season anyway.
Well, he said he wants to pitch the full boat.
Well, I mean, again, I just think, obviously, as a fan, I'm not diehard Dodgers fan, born and raised. I root for the Dodgers. I want them to win. But for me personally, as a baseball fan, I think it'd be way cooler to see Clayton Kershaw, legendary Dodgers pitcher, who's like the epitome of the Dodgers, especially to this generation. I feel like it'd be cooler to see him win a perfect
game. Okay, so let me ask you a question, Linz. And you're right about everything you just said.
I agree. I think it'd be cool, too. I would have loved to have seen him finish it off.
But
believe me, that was my first reaction, too. Like, what? They're taking him out? What? Really?
But if... just because he doesn't have a perfect game, doesn't that still mean that he's arguably the greatest Dodger of all time, that he's all those things that you said? Like, nothing has changed.
Sure, but I think that, like, looking at it from zoomed out point of view, whatever the word is, I don't know what the phrasing is.
Outsider?
I think that it would be cooler to have a perfect game added to his already great resume than it would be another World Series.
All right, let me throw this one at you, though. You ready? And I know you're representing the other side of this argument, but here it goes. Hypothetical, he goes back in the eighth, right? He takes down the first guy, takes down the second guy, gives up a hit on the third guy, okay? Now he comes out of the game, and he's pitched 95 pitches, let's say, right? And then 2 days later, I tell you he's going to miss his next start because of soreness in his arm. So he went 7 2/3 of scoreless baseball, didn't get the no-hitter, didn't get the perfect game, and now he's got a sore arm. Why? Because he overtaxed himself because he was selfish and wanted to have the perfect game, which he said, of course, would have been a selfish thing to do. So the other side of it is the what if, because Clayton Kershaw is kind of to the Dodgers what Anthony Davis is to the Lakers.
No, he's not. You're no way.
What are
not
you guys
anymore.
Talking about?
What are you talking about? What do you mean by that?
What do you mean?
I want you to expand on that.
What I mean is that you need him, and he's always hurt. And so Clayton Kershaw has been hurt a lot. George, you just pointed out back, arm, shoulder, whatever all these injuries have been over the last 5 years. And so last year, the Dodgers really needed him at the end, and he wasn't available. The Lakers needed Anthony Davis, not available. That's the comparison. You guys think that's way off, really? I think it's pretty good.
No,
nobody likes my comparison.
Here's the other thing. And maybe in a year where the Dodgers have this, you know, humongous depth in their starting rotation, we're literally talking about, like, who the hell's the fourth or fifth starter on this team? Like, literally, we've been having this conversation. So, let's say you let him go, and then we hear in a couple days, oh, yeah, he's had a setback. Now it's like, and then now you're down to who? Julio Urias, who, by the way, granted it's only the first game, but his velocity looked really bad in game one against Colorado. And obviously Buehler, who's excellent. I just don't think it's worth I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze, especially, again, if he's okay with it.
It's hard because, like, for me as a fan, I would have loved for it to happen. But the more, like, hearing him say that was a selfish thing, it just, for me, like, wow, what a player, right? Because look at the Lakers, and I feel they played very selfishly. I mean, selfishly, yeah. And for me, I was like, dude, but I want, and like you said, it's a me thing. It's as a fan, I wanted to experience that.
Well, right, we're all selfish as fans.
And
you guys.
Okay, me. I'll say it, me.
You and Lindsay and maybe Cap, at least initially.
And I wanted to see that. I was so pissed.
That was me initially. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, I was mad.
What are you doing, Dave?
Let him play.
Right.
Like,
that was my first reaction. That was my first reaction.
The thing is, the more I hear you guys talk about it, the more I hear, you know, them kind of speak on why he got pulled. I'm like, yo, there is a bigger picture to this. There is a bigger stance to why he got pulled. And no, I didn't like it. I was mad as y'all know. I was mad. But as fans, I rather see him hold that trophy.
It's like Meek Mill says. There's levels to this.
Exactly.
I want to also say that I think that one other name.
Do you know who Meek Mills is?
I do know who Meek Mills was.
Yeah.
Hear that? Past tense? Right?
What do you mean? Why'd you say was?
I mean, isn't he deceased?
No.
Oh,
no.
All right. Then I guess I don't.
Why did you? We should, like, fine you $100.
He was in prison for a while. But
I thought he was deceased. Excuse me.
I was like, what?
Excuse me. I thought that I sounded really cool, like I knew what was going on. Hey, sorry,
you
Meek.
You were so impressed with yourself. Yeah.
Wait, I was confused for a second. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I
missed something.
I was like, RIP, bro. I was like, oh, sorry, Meek.
We should give you like $100 fine for killing someone randomly.
I know, right? When I just think somebody's dead, but they're not.
Dude, Twitter's going to be like, what? Yeah.
We could send it to charity. That'd be great. Seriously, we could do like a charity jar on something like that.
I thought Meek Mill, the reason I thought that is my son, I think my son's like a big fan. Is Meek Mill from Pittsburgh, or am I getting him confused with some other rapper?
He's from Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought, man, I don't know, man. I thought that's what happened. I thought he was deceased.
He was in jail or prison for a long time, and he was like a big
right. And Michael Rubin, the Sixers owner, and Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, helped get him out of jail.
Oh, all right, different rapper. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. Anyway,
yeah,
where
must be
was
the
I?
Other Meek Mill? But anyway.
I was like, clearly.
No, right, yeah, right. I think it was Meek Nil. I think is who I was thinking about.
Yeah.
So yeah, where were we though? There was something
anyway,
I was about.
Go ahead.
Oh,
Clayton Kershaw.
Let me say this. One other name that I think we should immediately put into the Lakers coaching search is now Dave Roberts. Because think about it.
Ay, Dios mío.
Because Dave Roberts.
I thought you were going to go full circle with the joke and say Meek Mill.
No, no, not Meek Mill. Not Meek Mill. As long as if Meek Mill's still around, yo, bring him in. Bring him in for an interview. Yeah. But seriously, like, you hear the difference between Dave Roberts talking to a Clayton Kershaw, who's a superstar, and the two of them collaborating to make the right decision for the team. That's what the Lakers need, George. They need somebody who's strong enough to have a conversation with LeBron James or, this past year, Russell Westbrook, to have a collaborative conversation. But in the final analysis, I'm the manager. I make the call. I'm the coach. I decide. I thought Dave Roberts comes off sounding super impressive today.
I agree. I mean, that's fine. Okay, but who would you like that to be with LeBron then? Actually, you know what? Max Kellerman had I love Max because he thinks out of the box, but this one is not out of the box. It's like, you know, it's out of like the factory where they make the box and the toys and all the and the gadgets. Like, it just, I don't even know what he was. Do we have the Max Kellerman sound?
Well, for some context, it was a caller that suggested it that he agreed with.
But oh, so it wasn't
he
Max.
Argues a point. Well, no, I mean, if we had, I had saved the whole thing so you can hear what his argument is for it.
Okay, then why don't you just tell us what it is then?
We'll just play it.
Okay, no, but give us context so we're not just randomly playing
something. Well, I'm playing like the caller. I saved that part of it so that way you can hear.
Okay, but explain this to me. A caller called Max to say what?
To say who he thinks the Lakers coach should be.
Okay, go ahead.
Rick and Dayton. You're on with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
I got the perfect coach for the Lakers. He's right in front of your nose. It's LeBron James. Everybody says he's a coach anyhow, so might as well put him in charge.
I actually like that idea. I like the idea. It eliminates a big problem for the Lakers. You can have a player coach. Why not?
I understand LeBron is one of the greatest players we've ever seen to play, but this is not the 60s and 50s with Bill Russell, man. Like, you do not want LeBron James having that much autonomy.
No, you know what I want him to have? Coach. I want him to have that much accountability.
And I would never have – if I were LeBron James, I would never do that.
I agree.
Because
I wouldn't do it if
too
I was –
much onus on me about everything
Bingo.
That has to be managed in the game.
But to me, it makes LeBron so accountable. Like, LeBron, you're the greatest basketball genius in the world. I don't say that facetiously. I mean it. He's like a basketball genius, right? You're going to call the shots anyway. Give him the responsibility and make him own it.
No.
If I were LeBron, I wouldn't
would
do it,
do
but
that?
I would offer it to him.
Why would you offer that?
What makes you think he wouldn't
that
be a good coach?
That creates more of a train wreck. That becomes more of a reality
If it's
show.
A train wreck, you go get a coach. It's a train wreck now. How much worse is it going to be than 16 games under 500? Like, how much worse could it be?
Oh, Max, it could be way worse. Trust me when I tell you that.
Did you think that's a good idea, George?
No, it's a ridiculous idea.
The reason I
ask you that. He's lucky that Jay Will was trying to be nice about it. I would have literally said, Max, you've lost your godforsaken mind. What the hell is wrong with you today?
Well, the reason I asked you if you thought it was a good idea or a bad idea is because yesterday the question was, who's more annoying, you or Max Kellerman, right?
Yeah.
And I took you.
Yes.
And so if you thought that was a good idea, this wasn't going to sound right, but I kind of think it's a good idea too. Meaning, I'm kind of with Max on this. Like, let LeBron coach. Go ahead. I mean, go ahead, LeBron. Like, hey, listen, here's the deal. Here's the team. You know what you want to run. You know how you want to run it. You design the plays. You tell everybody where to be and what to do. You take yourself out when you need a breather. And you coach the team. And by the way, the buses would love it. Jeannie would be like, great. You know how much less we have to spend on a coach? We already got LeBron. Now, LeBron may say, hey, you have to add a couple dollars to this thing because I'm coaching now, too. But.
Well, I don't think you can do that.
Oh, well. You can't pay him as a coach and a player?
I mean, I don't know, Cap. I mean, I don't know what they paid Bill Russell in 1970.
That was a very funny line by Jay Will.
Yeah. No, that is a ridiculous idea. And the fact that Kellerman entertained it with Rick and Dayton or whatever the hell the guy's name was is even worse.
Bet you that people would call us and tell us that is a good idea.
No.
But
nope.
I was going to say, don't they say that LeBron like coaches the team anyway?
Yeah, but it's a lot different when you're having to divvy up minutes and all those responsibilities and rotations. Like, that's not as easy as you think.
All right, how about this? You ready?
To do it while you're actually playing the game is not as easy as you think.
How about this? What if I – could I sell you on this?
Why are we talking about
this? You ready? How about
this?
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cappy.
Thank you. LeBron is the coach. He's got the title. He's the head coach, right? But you bring back Jared Dudley, and he's your number one assistant – and he does all of the busy work during the game that LeBron can't do because he's playing.
Oh, okay. Then why don't we just do the thing that was suggested like 10 years ago, just like Phil Jackson coach the home games. Why don't we just do that too then?
Nah, I want LeBron to coach.
Okay.
And I want Jared Dudley to be his assistant.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So.
All right. Well, it's an idea. It's a concept. It's thinking outside the box, George.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You're outside of the stratosphere is what you're doing. Yeah, you and Kellerman can do the show together then. Keyshawn and I will just sit there. You and Kellerman can do the show together.
No, Kellerman and I cannot do the show together because there's just too much in between us. You understand what I'm saying? There's just too much.
What is too much ugh?
Ugh, it's like too much. Right, just too much of that between me and Kellerman.
Yeah.
We're just like too obnoxious at the same time. Can't happen.
You're too much alike.
Right, that's what I was trying to say. Although I got to say one thing. I saw
By the
Kellerman
way, did you mean Mac Miller? Because people are tweeting us that.
Oh, is Mac Miller the dude who died?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. See the difference? Mac Miller, Meek Mill? It's not that far off.
It's
not that far. Come
I mean,
on, everybody.
Not, okay. No,
come
no.
on. It's not that far off.
Very, very
Mac Miller and Meek Mill?
Very far off.
Both have Eminem initials.
Yes.
Both last names are Mill and Mills, right? Mills?
Sort of. But
it's kind of close.
Not even.
One is black, one is white. There's,
yeah,
there's
that.
Oh, I didn't know that part of it. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, huge difference.
That's that why there's a difference, probably.
I wasn't going to say that, but Sedano said.
I mean, no, it's just the obvious. You know, there's that. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Might be.
Anyhow. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Speaking of, are you doing that? Would you have signed Derek Carr to a 3-year, $120 million extension?
Oh, man. If I'm Mark Davis, the answer is yes, I would have. And here's why. Look, the Chiefs are committed to their quarterback. The Chargers are committed to theirs. And now the Broncos are committed to Russell Wilson, okay? Mm-hmm. The Raiders have to be committed to their quarterback. And if they're not committed to Derek Carr, then they should go get another quarterback. I've told you my philosophy, George. If you're a starting quarterback in the NFL for 10 years and you don't take a team to a Super Bowl, it's time to move on. But the Raiders, the one thing about Derek Carr is this. I was thinking about it today. You know his coaches, as a head coach in the league, he had Dennis Allen as a rookie who got fired and they gave the job to Tony Sperano, who got fired and they gave the job to Jack Del Rio, who got fired and they gave the job to John Gruden, who got fired and they gave the job to Rich Bisaccia, who got let go afterwards or not re-signed, and now the job is Josh McDaniels. Dude, that's six head coaches in probably like a 12-year career.
Yeah.
So the Raiders have not exactly done right by Derek Carr, and he's been the one constant through all of their turmoil, moving from Oakland to Vegas, all the coaching changes. It's a reward for being a Raider.
I mean, he's in a division with three guys who are definitely better than him.
I agree with that. I completely agree with that.
But what you're saying is it's better to have, even though they're all way better than him, he's still good enough that if you augment the rest of the roster, you're still in it, you believe?
I think that you have to have consistency at that position. You can't have question marks about it. All three teams in the division outside of the Raiders feel really good about their quarterback, so the Raiders made their commitment.
Okay.
And they've got a new coach, and they've made a commitment to this guy. By the way, have you seen where this puts Derek Carr amongst quarterbacks?
I think he's making $40 million, right?
$40 million. You ready? So here's who's above him. Aaron Rodgers, $50 million.
Yeah, okay.
Deshaun Watson, $46 million. Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, $45 million. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, $43 million. And Derek Carr makes the exact same amount of money as Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford.
Well, a lot of that is when did you sign your deal, too? You know?
Of course. Derek Carr is in that same $40 million category with Matt Stafford and Dak Prescott. How do you think about that?
I don't think Derek Carr is as good as Matthew Stafford. I don't know if he's as good as Dak Prescott or not.
How about Deshaun Watson, $46 million for a guy who nobody knows for sure what's going to happen with this guy this year? $46 million.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. But what I would continue to say is, like, I've come to like Derek Carr, to your point, for all the reasons that you outlined earlier, okay? But I just wonder, man, like in a division where the Broncos just got Russell Wilson and you've got Patrick Mahomes and you've got Justin Herbert. I mean, that division is it fair to say, I mean, we've talked a lot about how the NFC West was ridiculously difficult over these last several years. Is it fair to say the AFC West maybe, and I don't mean to sound Kellerman-ish or Kaplan-ish in this case, but
are you going to say that Derek Carr should coach the Raiders?
No.
Okay.
I'm just being hyperbolic like you two would be.
Okay.
And what I would say is that the toughest division in the history of the NFL?
It might be. It might prove to be. Is it the best division, like with the best four quarterbacks, the best four starting quarterbacks that the NFL has ever seen?
In
I don't know for
division.
Sure.
Yeah,
in one division, right. Not sure, but it certainly looks pretty good. But I think
I'm trying to think. The AFC East back in the day had Marino Kelly.
Right.
Who Boomer else? Well, New England did not have anybody before Brady. Well, they had Bledsoe. He was pretty good.
They did have Bledsoe. That's
and who
true.
Did the Jets have at that time?
After Boomer Esiason, or let's see.
Oh, they had a bunch of guys until like Vinny Testaverde.
Right, Vinny. Right, Vinny Testaverde. That's right.
That's not a bad, but it's not this.
No, it's not this. Yeah. It's not this because none of those guys, even as great as Marino was and as great as Jim Kelly was, and by the way, both of them Hall of Famers.
Right.
Nobody played anywhere near the way Patrick Mahomes plays. I mean, the game has evolved, obviously.
No, for sure. But I mean, I think those guys would put up monster numbers too in this era.
Oh, dude! Right now, if you gave Dan Marino in his prime, like I'm talking 1985 Dan Marino, this NFL, he'll pass for 6,500 yards.
Yeah, I agree. I think Warren Moon would do something similar as well.
I mean, those old Houston Oiler run-and-shoot offenses.
I mean, he was throwing for 4,000 back then.
Yeah.
And so was Marino for, like, you know, Marino had 40. Marino's record stood for, like, 30 years almost.
Which was what, like 4,800 yards passing in a season? Is that right?
Yeah. And Warren Moon was a 4,000 guy pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Like, like, those guys, 6,000 is not crazy.
But what were the Raiders going to do, dude? What were they going to do? You know, they're stuck.
Yeah. All right, let's keep talking about the Raiders on the other side. Also, I want to get into the Clippers situation yesterday. I know a lot of people were, mocking the entirety of everything that went down there yesterday. Minnesota, the Clippers, all of it. We'll get into that. And there is 6 potential opportunities to trade Russell Westbrook. We'll get into some of that on the other side as well. Stick around. We're back in 4 minutes.